Sure is a privilege to be here with you this afternoon. Always love having the opportunity to come to Providence Church. It's like being at home, like being amongst home folks, and I trust that the Lord would bless us, that we'd serve Him in an acceptable way, and that we might always have the opportunity to come and worship with you. It's a sweet privilege, and we're thankful for it. I came over here, on the way over here, I had a particular thought on my mind, and it's not there anymore, so I got something else. But I ask you to pray for us for the time we'll stand before you. Brother Sonny, in his preaching and using the text he used, really got my mind to turning, if you will. My spirit was stirred. And I want to go and read that verse one more time for us just to grab a hold to it. And that was Psalms 40, right at the end, verse 17. It says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." You know, the English language is a very interesting language. It's a very difficult language. I would hate to have to learn it if I had learned some other language, because I really had a problem trying to learn another language, being that I knew English, so I can only think it would be just as bad in reverse. But the fact of the matter is, when you add that thinketh, that is present perfect tense, which means it has happened, it is happening, it will yet continue to happen. Okay? So the Lord thinketh on me. Now that word "me." You know, the gospel is one thing, but when it becomes the us as we's and me's, it gets real important, doesn't it?
Amen.
I remember when I was a kid, you know, it was all fine and good. I was glad when they finally, Papa would get through, they'd say amen, and we'd get to the lunch table, because there was fixing to be a football game pursued behind Old Union Church in the afternoon, and I was kind of a rough little fella. I got in trouble quite often. Brother Ricky Myers loves to tell a story about me. My dad was fixing to wear me out. We had a switch tree, and I visited that thing on a regular basis right outside the lunchroom there. Kept her pruned back. But anyway, I did my part, I tell you. And I said, "But I was just playing with him." Ricky Myers said, he said, "You was like a St. Bernard playing with chihuahuas." I'd get in trouble. But anyway, there come a point in time, though, when that gospel, as opposed to being just something that was happening, became the gospel of my salvation.
Amen.
And when that gospel came from being this fella named Jesus who did something, but when, as it says over in Colossians, who loved me and gave himself for me,
amen,
then this gospel became really important at that point in time. When you feel like you identify with the us's and we's when you read them in the Bible, and you say, "That's my people." Mm. When you hear that gospel ring out, and your heart just stirs within you, you say, "That's the gospel of my salvation."
Yeah.
That's the salvation. And it's not my, it's mine in that it's been given to me. But the psalmist said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Y'all get me? Y'all make sure y'all understand. I'm not saying it's my salvation. I'm saying I'm a recipient of it because he gave it to me.
Amen.
So in that sense, it is mine because my father gave it to me, and it's mine, right? Because he loved me. He thinketh upon me. When you read that and you substitute yourself in there, then that gets really important. He thinketh upon me. You know, there's times in our lives when we think the Lord doesn't think upon us. The psalmist said, "Lord, are you clean gone forever?" David had messed up in his life. "Lord, are you clean gone forever?" He besought the Lord that he might restore to him the joy of thy salvation, right? "Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation." When you consider this, and we consider this text, another text that I would like to go in association with this one is if you flip back in Psalms and the sixth division. Here, it's a Psalm of David, and David has messed up, and he's crying out here in the sixth division. And he says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger." You know, we're told as parents, as fathers, not to provoke our children to wrath. You need to rebuke them. You need to chastise them. Because if you don't, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He said, but if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons.
Amen.
All right, so there's several important things learned from those two statements of fact. One is, there are people the Lord loves. And there are also people that apparently the Lord doesn't love. Because if there are individuals that are without chastisement, the reason they are without chastisement is because the Lord does not love them.
Right.
You all understand where we're going with that. He says, but if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. That means you don't have him as a father, you see. That's what that, it's not an ugly word. It's a statement of fact. It's not his children. Okay? And here, the psalmist says, Lord, don't rebuke me in thy anger. Neither chasing me in thy hot displeasure. Y'all ever been that kid? You knew, man, you didn't want to go to the house. You knew what was coming. You was going to get it. But if they would just cool down a little bit, maybe it wouldn't be as bad. That's what David's crying out. Lord, I know I've messed up. You know, it's a beautiful promise in God's word. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, I'm thankful the Lord's not ashamed to call us brethren. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
So many times we are like old brother Peter, and we curse and swear we never knew him. But he's not ashamed of us. Amen. There's many times in our life that we have an opportunity to stand for that which is right and proclaim the truth of God's word, and we don't. You know what we're saying by our actions? That we're ashamed. It's exactly what we're saying. When we have an opportunity to share with somebody the truth as it is in God's word, and we shirk away from that, then what we're saying is, Lord, I'm ashamed of your testimony. Paul said, be not ashamed of me, right? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but sometimes we are. But isn't it glorious that we have a gospel that even if we are, he's not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed of me. Now it gets serious, right? You mean the Lord of glory is not ashamed of me? When you're that me, then it's altogether more important at that point in time. And the reason it's so important is because he thinketh. That doesn't mean he just done it before the foundation of the world. Right? Doesn't mean he just done it then. Doesn't mean he just done it 2,000 years ago. He thinketh.
Right.
It's a continual thing, you understand? Right. It's going on. I'll prove to you. Let's go real quick. Now, here, let me get this before I go. I got ADD bad, I'm telling y'all. I'll get gone before we get where we're supposed to. There's something I want to get in here, so let's just go back to 6. Hang on. Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. We're just fixing to leave him getting a whooping. That's going to be bad. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. You ever been in that situation? He said, look, everything I touch, I'm cursed all the way to the very core of me. There's nothing good about me. I'm vexed to the core. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. You know, I remember one time, the old king says, anyone left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? We just like old Mephibosheth, aren't we? The Lord has shown us kindness for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
For his mercy's sake. Oh, brethren, righteousness and peace have kissed. They have met together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are at peace.
Amen.
But more so than that, God's at peace with us. Whether you're at peace with God or not, it doesn't change the fact he's at peace with us.
Amen.
He said, be reconciled to the fact that y'all are reconciled. Is that not what he said? That's what he said. Be reconciled to the fact that you're reconciled unto God. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ has reconciled us unto God. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. Now look, for mercy's sake, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake. He didn't say because of what I've done. He said, because of your tender mercies, save me. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee? He said, Lord, if I'm dead, I can't tell these folks around us just how good you've been to me. That's what he's saying. Brother, I'm going to tell you, I kind of look to the day. I was thinking about the song the other day. I even looked in this book. I tried to find it. We got the old Casey book, and I tried to find it in there. It wasn't in there. I don't know where I'm glad that I'm born to die. Y'all remember that song? I'm glad that I'm born to die. There's coming a day when we are going to be like that piece of iron. And we're going to swim away, brother. We're going to be carried away. Something supernatural is going to take place because gravity ain't going to hold us no more. We're going home. And this old ground's going to the dirt from whence it came. From dust it came, the dust shall return. And it's just going to be a little while. You realize there's no time in heaven. I mean, that'll blow your mind when you start trying to figure that one out. Time is, you know, for me, I don't know about y'all, but it's time to, you know, it's time to get up. Then it's pretty much time to eat right after that. Y'all think on that when it comes down. Then it's time to do something. It's time to eat again pretty quick. And usually while I'm eating that one, I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat later on. So. And then it's time to go to bed and get up and do it all over again, right? It's always time for something. But you see, God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know why? Because he said, you tell him I am sent you. I can't say that. A lot of us spend too much time, and I'm learning. I kind of got a weird thing going on right now. We was in the weight room the other day. One of the boys dropped 315 pounds, and I had not stretched, lifted, done anything, warmed up, and I reached and grabbed it and set it back up. I wouldn't have dared let them know, but I'm telling you, I hurt something. I've been gimped up, going to chiropractor, and trying to stretch ever since. I'm hurting right between my shoulder blades. I don't know what I've done, but I'm not going to let them know it. But I'm learning more and more about there comes a point in time when we say, you know, I used to. I used to would have grabbed that and picked it up and put it back up there, but I'm not going to anymore. Y'all do it. There comes a point in time you quit demonstrating and you start teaching. I'm learning that one too. I've done a little demonstration on the sled one day, and the first round went good, and I didn't leave well enough alone. I've learned that lesson too. Leave well enough alone. I had to go one more time. I went one more time through the gauntlet. Sister Jessica was putting icy hot on my back for a week. We think of it in terms like that. I used to be. When you're a kid, I'm going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Too many times we don't think about what I am.
I am.
That's why it says, beloved, now. Y'all get this one. Now are we the sons of God.
Amen.
We need to think about that. We need to remember that. Right now we are. Not going to be, not used to be, we are. There's a part of us that cannot be denied. There's a part of us that cannot sin. You get over in 1 John, you start reading all that. I mean, it's a part of us that can never sin. And that's the Spirit of God that dwells within us. It cannot sin. That's amazing.
Amen.
And because of that, if he's ever loved us, he'll always love us. Isn't that amazing? That we'll always be the sons of God. And when we get there, we'll be as he is. But until that time, we used to be, or we will be. But I am said, I love you.
Amen.
And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am the Lord thy God over Malachi. I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's why we can sing that song, brother. When we've been there 10,000 years, about shining as the sun, there's no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Why? Because he'll never, ever. There's not coming a day. I'm thankful for this one, brother. There's not coming a day when we're there on that happy shore and he says, come here, son. You know I forgot about something. You know the Lord did forget about some things.
Amen.
Only the things he chose to forget. And that is our sins of iniquities.
Amen.
Which he has removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. And that gives me a sweet peace in knowing that it doesn't matter how long we're there, we're going to rejoice in the Savior's love. Why?
Amen.
Because he'll never. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it not God that justifies?
Yes. They can't.
The psalmist here cries out unto the Lord. He says, I am weary with my groaning. all the night, make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. We got that old song in the Red Book, says, I wet my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. You know why he's heard the voice of your weeping? Because he thinketh of me. Heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. You know, there's times in my life I didn't think the prayer got off the pillow. The psalmist here said, the Lord will receive my prayer.
Amen.
You know why? It's not because we're such a great orator. Not because we're like that old, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I thank thee I'm not like that sorry old publican over there. You know what sorry old publican over there said? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know what the Bible says? He went away to his house justified. You know why he went away justified? Because he was one of them me's in God's word.
Amen.
The Lord thinketh on him. He thinketh on me. When he thinketh on us, it says he receives our prayers. I'll tell you another time, Psalms 22, you're going to find that the Lord was thinking on us and we's. In Psalms 22, it's kind of long, so I'm going to skip through it, but y'all can go back and read it for yourself. I'm just going to hit the high points. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We ought to know where we're at now, right? If you want to reference this, you can kind of go over and look in Mark 15. You're going to see a beautiful picture of this. You could also go over to Luke, but anyway, Mark 15, Luke 16. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. He says, but I'm a worm, verse 6, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Despised and rejected of men. Sound familiar? All they that see me laugh me to scorn. In the New Testament, they come by, it says, wagging their heads and shooting out the lip, saying all manner of evil, spitting upon the Lord of glory. Yeah, I think we're getting a pretty good picture of what the psalmist is talking about here now. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Delighted in him. If you are really, won't you just come down and save yourself? Does it sound familiar? No doubt what's being referenced here now. We see the picture.
Right.
Verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, and as a ravening and roaring lion, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. There ought not be any doubt now what is being referenced here. And then he says, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. He said, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. A fellow told me, he said, well, preacher, what that is the Lord was so emaciated that his bones were just protruding out of his body. Now, he wasn't kept up that long, hopefully.
Amen.
He's going to be kept up just like, y'all get this one, just like that Passover lamb was kept up and watched. this Passover, Christ our Passover, was kept up and examined and determined to be without spot and without blemish. He was perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Genesis for a moment. This is what's on his mind when he's hung suspended between heaven and earth. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Tell, you know, you ever been to the bank? You go to a teller? You know why they call them a teller? Because they count money. He said, I can count them, every one. They're numbered.
Amen.
I know them. In Genesis, you're going to find where God created Adam. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make and help meet for him, one fit for him. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon the Adam, and he took from Adam a rib from his side. And from that rib, he created a woman. And when Adam looked on that woman, well, Adam, he was happy. He said, whoa, man. No. He called her a woman because she was taken out of man, right? When Adam looked on her, this is what he said. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Let me tell you, brethren, this is a specific time when the Lord lets us know unequivocally and without a doubt that the me's, us's, and we's of the Bible were on his mind.
Amen.
When he hung there suspended between heaven and earth, I'll tell you, he was thinking upon us.
Amen.
At that point in time.
Amen.
The Bible says, who for the joy, huh? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? Because he's going to be with his bride. That's why.
Amen.
You know what's amazing? I've done a lot of weddings in my little short life thus far. It's getting longer. Anyway, but. And most of the times, you know, y'all in the congregation get to see the groom. And you know, most of the time, you don't even have to tell people to rise up. Because they see the groom's face when his bride walks through the door, and everybody knows it's time to stand up because they saw his face light up. But see, when you're the preacher, you get to see the bride when she sees the groom. I get a view nobody else gets as a preacher. And I kind of like that. And I'm going to tell you why I kind of like it. The reason I kind of like it is because I think about the day when we, who make up his bride, are going to get to see the groom. Boy, that's going to be a day, isn't it? But you see, the Lord, in thinking about what he was, who he was redeeming, and what he was redeeming them from, and what he was delivering them to, that's why he endured the things he endured. Because he thinketh on the me's, us's, and we's. Not only think on us then, brethren, but what I want you to know, and the point I want to make to you today, is sometimes when we read that text in that Old Testament and say, he thinketh on me, we think, well, yeah, he thought about me before the foundation of the world. Yeah, he thought about me when he was hung suspended between heaven and earth. But brethren, if we'll go in and we'll look at Hebrews, we're going to find out that he's thinking about us right now.
Amen.
You see, because we have a high priest forever.
Amen.
Okay? This, by the way, is the same reason that we don't use musical instruments in the worship service. You might say, what are you talking about? You know, in 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah commanded that an offering be made for the atonement of all Israel. And boy, they had the trumpets and the cymbals and everything. They were just getting down. They were jugging. Right up to the point that the sacrifice was complete. And you know what happened when the sacrifice for the atonement of all Israel was complete? All the cymbals and the psalteries and all the trumpets and all that stuff, it stopped. They bowed their heads and they worshiped. And Hezekiah commanded that they sing, listen to this, the songs of David and of Asaph the seer. And they all bowed their head and they worshiped and they sang.
Amen.
You know why they sang? Atonement was made.
Amen.
You know why our worship service is like it is? Because we believe that he accomplished the atonement.
Amen.
Now, There's no more need for us to priesthood. Y'all got that? No more need for a priest. You know why? We don't need one. If you got one, he's just going to die anyway. You can get you a pope. He's going to die too. But see, we got something better than a pope ever thought of being. We got something better than some priest ever thought of being. Because we got a high priest forever. You got this? He ain't going nowhere. And you know what the Bible says? He ever liveth to make intercessions for us. I got news for you, brethren. When you understand that the Lord thinketh upon us, a lot of times we just say, well, yeah, you know, he used to. No, he does now. He is right now. He's interceding on your behalf at this very moment, brethren, because I'm going to tell you, he loves you. Amen. That's why he's doing everything he's doing. And not only that, but praise God, we can see the iron swim. Amen. How do we see it swim? Because he says, cast all your cares upon him. Because here's another one of them ETH words. He says, he careth for you. Oh, I can tell you, I care about you. Y'all got me? Oh, I care about you, brother. I love you. There's a difference in caring about and careth for him. If you ever raise cattle, you have to careth for them. You know what that means? You make provision for them. You take care of them. You see to it they're fed in the wintertime. You see to it they're kept up. You see to it the fences. You see to it ain't nothing out there damaging them or causing them harm. And I'm going to tell you, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, you understand? He careth for us. Who? The means, us as weeds. The sheep of his pasture. So, brother, when you think about the fact that he thinketh far and he careth far, don't put it way back over there before time, just there. Oh, it was there. I ain't saying it wasn't there. I'm telling you it was there. I'm not telling you it wasn't there 2,000 years ago when the Lord of glory come down to this low ground of sin and sorrow and offered himself unto God. Y'all got that? You have to be pretty messed up to mess that one up.
Amen.
He didn't offer himself to man. If he did, what you going to do with him?
Right.
I don't make no good nonsense. No, he offered himself unto God. Once. Get this one. You see, our high priest is better than any high priest you've ever seen. All them other high priests had to offer day after day after day after day. They continually had to offer sacrifices, and them sacrifices could never perfect them that he offered it on behalf of. All it did was brought a remembrance of sin. But I'm going to tell you, this Jesus who thinketh of me and careth for me, he done something for me couldn't nobody else on this planet or in this universe or in this vast creation that God has made do for me. And that is, he paid a debt I could not pay.
Amen.
And he offered himself unto God once. And you know what the Bible says? He hath forever perfected. Now look. Those that he loved, right? You know who he loved? The means, us's, and we's. That's who he loved. The sheep of his pasture. His sheep. His children. That's who he loved. Now, he hath forever perfected. He hath obtained. Now, that word hath and obtained, you know what that is? Past tense. It says he hath obtained eternal redemption for you. Boy. Now, you know, you're going to have to mess. You got to work really hard to mess that one up. He secured something that is eternal. The very essence of that word means it lasts forever.
Amen.
He secured something for you that'll be here from now on. You know why? Because he thinketh of you. But you know why he's interceding right now on our behalf? Because not only does he think of you, because I can think of you. I can say, brother, I'm thinking about y'all. I can say, I love you. I could have said, Brother Mark, I sure do love y'all. But you can't show love one to another unless we with one another. Y'all got that?
Yeah.
Over in Hebrews 2, it says that the Lord will come down in the midst of the church. And he'll sing praises unto the Father with his children. The children that the Father's given to him. And he says, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praises? Brethren, I'm going to tell you know why he does that for us? You've experienced that this weekend. I've heard the testimonies of the saints here of how good God has been to you yesterday. You know why he, you know what he's, that's just God saying to you, I still love you.
Amen.
I'm still thinking about you because it's something I always do. It's present perfect. And I'm still caring for you and providing, because I'm going to tell you the only way for the gospel to be proclaimed is for the Holy Ghost to come down. That's the only way that happens. And if you've experienced that this weekend, your Father sent you a sweet little love letter.
Amen.
Says, I still love you. I'm still thinking about you. And I still care for you. Until the day I see you, when I'll never have to not see you again. Isn't that going to be a glorious day?
Amen.
For that cause, let us pray, Lord, come quickly. But while we draw breath, may we continually seek his face, to be in his presence and worship among the saints all the days that we have life. May the Lord bless you. Our
Amen.
Prayer.
Amen.